Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. In this episode, I join the Renault Trucks EV Roadshow as it calls in on RH commercial vehicles. First, you'll hear from Renault's James Charnock, followed by some feedback from a couple of operators in attendance. So James, thank you very much for joining me. First of all, tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, so James Charnock, Commercial Director for Renault Trucks UK and Ireland. Effectively, that means I'm responsible for the sale of all new and used trucks and LCV products in our range. So that, from an LCV perspective, is Master and Traffic. And then on the trucks, we've got our D range, our C range, our T range and our K range. And that's both for diesels and electric. In addition to that, I'm also responsible for our digital solutions and telematics, and that's becoming increasingly important with the sale of electric vehicles, because we need to follow up with battery consumption and what the trucks are actually delivering. And I'm also in charge of the product department, which includes technical and homologation, and that's headed up for me by Andy Scott, who I believe was also interviewed.
Yes, that's right. Yep. Okay, so we're here at RH Commercial Vehicles to chat about electric trucks because I'm joining you at the end of the EV Roadshow, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Tell
us about the Renault Trucks EV Roadshow. How long has it been going and what does it mean exactly?
Okay, so this is our second roadshow. The first one we actually did in 2 years ago, in 2021. That was in line with COP26, and we started in Glasgow and worked our way down through the dealers, doing a roadshow at each depot. And this is our second version. That the main difference between the first one and the second one is that Renault Trucks UK and our staff did all the presentations. They were our trucks. But over that 2 year period, the dealers have invested in their own demonstrators. We've trained them in being able to articulate and explain what electric trucks can and can't do for their customers. So what you'll see today in Nottingham is RH presenting to the local customers in this area, doing it all by themselves, effectively.
I see.
This is the final leg of the tour, and we've done 11 in total.
Okay, all over the UK.
All over the UK, we've run a northern circuit and a southern circuit. We've utilised our own RTUK demos, our dealer demos, and some of the customer trucks that we've already supplied and put into operation.
Okay, now I want you to be honest with me. Have the trucks made it all the way around under their own steam?
Yes.
No low loaders at all?
No low loaders. In fact, again, if I go back to the first roadshow, the whole purpose of that was to show that trucks could drive the length and breadth of the country without the need for low loaders. And we had a few nervy moments driving a bin truck from Glasgow to Carlisle, but we made it. That this particular roadshow, there's been no need for that at all.
So where have you charged en route then? At the dealers?
All the dealers have the facility to charge the trucks. Some of the trucks will have been charged before they were brought here. I've not actually been involved in the charging of the trucks. But
all the Renault dealers are now electric ready, are they?
All of our dealers are EV ready. But okay. Not all of the depots of every dealer is yet EV ready. So it's a progressive position that we're taking. We started off by picking the key locations in the UK, mainly around the motorway networks to give national coverage. But as time progresses, more and more of the dealer sites come on live.
Okay, and that's, you're talking charging, but also technicians, technician training.
Yeah, technician trained, charging facilities, and what you're actually seeing today is sales competence as well. So every salesperson in the UK has been EV trained.
Yeah. Okay. So how many trucks are actually involved in the roadshow?
Okay, well, we've got at each event five trucks and two masters. That doesn't include any customer trucks. So for instance, at this event, we've got one customer truck. But at most other events, that's the same situation.
Yeah.
Some of the dealers have their own demonstrators as well. So that tends to add one, in some cases, two trucks to that list.
Yeah. All right, and so do you want to tell us about the truck we're actually sat in now?
Yeah, we're in a D18-ton curtain sider. So this has got four 66-kilowatt batteries. And this would do general distribution in the local town or city that it was sold in.
Oh, so what sort of range are we talking?
So
let's say worst case scenario.
Well, it's a really good question, Will, because we're always asked how much and how far.
Sure.
And the best way I like to explain this to customers is I link it back to our battery promise. So our battery promise is the equivalent of a warranty, effectively.
Yeah.
So we guarantee that a vehicle will last for 10 years or deliver 300 megawatt hours of power. Now, in this particular vehicle, we've got 4x66 kilowatt batteries. So that means 265 kilowatts of power.
Yeah.
20% of that is not used.
Okay.
That is to preserve the batteries.
Yeah, I get that.
So that leaves you with 211 kilowatt hours of power. Over the 10 years, or the use of the 300 megawatt hours, the batteries will degrade by a further 20%. Which takes it down to 168 kilowatts of power.
Yeah.
So your question is, what's the worst case usage of an electric vehicle? Well, when we're quoting a customer, we have to tell that customer what the vehicle will do on the last day of the contract, not the first day.
I see.
So the last day, if we're assuming it'll deliver 168 kilowatt hours of power, it then depends on what the operation of that vehicle is. So if it's a fairly light operation and is only consuming 1 kilowatt per kilometre, you've got 168 kilometres a day still at the end of that contract.
Yeah.
If you're operating tail lifts, or maybe you've got a more arduous application, then it might be greater than 1 kilowatt per kilometre. So it really does vary on how the vehicle is used.
Yeah.
But it's about maximising that 300 megawatt hours of power.
Okay. So what's the customer feedback? I mean, first of all, how many customers have you had send these trucks over the last couple of weeks?
Okay, well, if we exclude the customers that are here today, because we've not done the final count here, but we've had just over 300 customers visit us on the first 10 events over the last 2 weeks, which is really good. It's we're really pleased with that.
So these are a complete mix of audiences who just have some interest in electric trucks, want to learn a bit more.
Yes, I think we've had people from the construction segment. We've had people who are actually thinking for the future and just run long haul trucks. We've got customers that we've targeted that just do city distribution. We've got some of the customers that have already taken those first steps, and we've got a number of customers who are interested in our Vitellus program as well.
Yeah. So what's the feedback been from these customers?
Absolutely superb.
It's
been really good. I was attending the event on Wednesday in Southampton, and I was talking to a lot of the customers after the event, and what was interesting is these events aren't sales events. They're about educating our customers in the art of the possible and what electric vehicles can and can't do.
Yeah.
And we started that journey mainly talking to the big national fleets 2 years ago. And some of the customers that we've been talking to over the last 2 weeks are almost at that same point that we were at with some of the bigger fleets two years ago. So we're answering the same questions. What can the vehicle do? Will it work in my operation? And Because of the increasing capability of the batteries, there's more and more applications that electric trucks will work in.
Is it not too soon? I'm struggling to see what the advantages are of being a pioneer.
Okay, that's a great question, Will, because talking to a number of the customers that are pioneers, they see this as a USP for their business, a unique selling point. They believe that this is generating opportunities for them in their local industry, their local area, where people are genuinely interested in the sustainability plans of their business. And if you're just looking at this as a capital cost basis, then you would never make that step at this point in time. But I'm sure if you engage with some of the customers that have already made the journey, we're only hearing positive things from the drivers that drive the vehicles, the owners of the businesses, and it really does create opportunities for these companies.
Okay. Now, with electric cars, there's been quite a bit of negativity in the press recently, especially over the winter months when people suddenly realised that the range was halved.
Yes.
Are you finding the same negativity with electric trucks?
I've not heard any negativity personally from customers, but we are aware that in the cold weather the batteries deliver less than in the summer months. But I think that's all part of the consultative approach we take with customers. We explain that at the beginning. We've got some quite sophisticated tools to analyse what a customer does in their daily operation. We'll calculate how many kilowatts that will consume. And ultimately, we don't want to sell a truck that can't do the job that the customer needs. So both in the qualifying the customer, the delivering the vehicle, and the post-analysis afterwards, it's a much more consultative sell than diesel vehicles.
Okay. So what about you? Have you got an electric car?
I haven't got an electric car yet. I'm in the final year of my lease, but I'll be getting an electric car early 2024.
What would you be getting?
At the minute, it's looking like a Polestar.
Okay. You looking forward to that?
Yeah. Most of my team now drive those vehicles. Our organisation went from having zero electric cars to almost everyone on the company car scheme has electric cars now.
Yep.
There's still a little bit of range anxiety when they first get them, but they're doing a great job for the individuals.
Right, last question. Is there life left in diesel?
Yes, is the answer. Electric doesn't fit every application just now. And in fact, I would say that our knowledge of electric and presenting electric to customers has actually led to us increasing our diesel sales. Partly because Renault Trucks was a smaller market share than some of the other brands a few years ago, but electric has opened the door to many more customers, and as well as buying electric vehicles or inquiring about electric vehicles, some customers that we didn't previously deal with have since bought diesel from us. I think it's also important to say, though, that customers do recognise that the direction of travel is clear.
Yeah.
And we are moving towards electric. Batteries are getting better. More and more applications will become available in electric. But some customers will still need to use diesel for a few years to come.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, James. I'm going to see if I can collar a couple of hauliers and see how they found today.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So my name's Andrew Litchfield. I'm the transport manager for Brett Martin Plumbing and Drainage, who are a large plastics manufacturer serving the building industry.
Okay.
So we make underground and overground pipe systems and also plastic sheet. And I run there. We have an own account fleet carrying our own products, and I'm responsible for running that fleet.
How many vehicles have you got?
We have three depots. We have a total of 40 vehicles on the road, but running out of three different depots.
Okay, so why are you here today?
So I'm here today to look at and evaluate the what's on the market currently in terms of electric vehicles, and to examine whether it's something that can apply now or certainly in the near future to our operation.
And you've just been out in the passenger seat of, I think it was the bin wagon you went out in.
Yeah, I went out in the bin wagon, but the chassis of that is similar to
although
the type of truck we use is similar to the one we're sat in actually, which is a curtain bodied vehicle.
Yeah.
The chassis and the engineering is the same, and so it was very interesting to be given a demonstration of it.
What did you think? But other than the fact it's quiet.
Well, other than the fact it's quiet, it's noticeably quite talky. I didn't drive it. I don't drive them, but it's quite talky compared to a traditional vehicle. And what impresses me in terms of. I come from an engineering background. You know, I used to repair trucks as a kid, so yeah. I come from that kind of background. And to take away an internal combustion engine with everything it brings with it, and all the dirt, and all the cooling systems, and etc. And it's a much more simple in some respects product to operate. And obviously it's clean, from an operator. But I know electricity has got to be generated to charge it, but when you're out on the road with it, you're not emitting gases, and so it's much cleaner.
So you're not looking to buy any imminently, are you? Or
we're looking at the moment. We're just exploring the options. We're not looking to buy any imminently. We haven't got that far down the road yet in terms of examining exactly what the cost is,
yeah,
and whether it will lend itself to the way we currently operate. But our Luton depot, which run in and out of London, so the trucks based in Luton do shorter distances than the rest of the country.
I see.
So they just have to look after London and the South East. So it may well lend itself to that operation, but we haven't got as far as looking at the costs to see whether it'll work from a cost point of view. There is a significant cost increase, I understand, over traditional vehicles at the moment. Whether that is feasible for us right now, I don't yet know. It's just something we're examining.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, no
cheers.
Right, I'm Steve Squires. I'm the purchasing manager for Clio Plant Limited. We're into compaction, all equipment compaction, national company. We run a fleet of Renault trucks, totaling 21, but we're not a transport company, we're a plant hire company. So for us, it's a loss leader. It's a means of getting plant into the marketplace.
I see.
So from our point of view, we're currently running into places like London and into Bath and Sheffield, and they're all becoming clean air zones. So it's becoming more and more onerous for ourselves to look at what we're going to be doing in the future. Currently, everything's stage 5, stage 6 engines. We're looking, come down here today to RH to look at what's on offer from an electrical point of view and how that fits in with our current requirements. We are hoping they're going to have something that's going to be also within, obviously, cost, not cost restricted.
Yeah. So have you been out in something already?
Went out in the refuse vehicle.
Oh yeah.
Which was looked to be like a 20, I think it's like a 21 ton, something like that vehicle. Very smooth, very quiet. One of the comments I made was how quiet it was on the outside.
Danger aspect, yeah.
Potentially. Visibility, excellent. It's got the low cab, it's got the 3-star rated with the lower window for being able to see, obviously, cyclists. What we don't know is what's going to be made available in maybe 6x2 tractor unit sizes.
Yeah.
That we can still use going into London and gaining all the stars. Obviously, TfL are one of the most stringent regulatory bodies that we have to put up with. So it's just a case of having a look. Will it come? Personally, I think it's going to be hydrogen. I still feel it's going to be hydrogen.
Yeah.
There's a place for electric in the small end. We've got the same problem with plant, up to 55 kilowatts, and you're talking electric's fine. Over 55 kilowatt, and you start talking about 10 ton, 20 ton machinery, and you're really hopeful that someone's going to come out with an hydrogen,
yeah,
or hydrogen cell type engine.
Okay, so overall, has it been worth coming?
So far, I've never ridden in an electric vehicle, so I've actually just experienced riding an electric vehicle. I wanted to look at the van. I don't know if I'm going to get the chance to do that now, but I'm interested in what's going to be said in the meeting.
Yeah.
Trying to get a bit more in-depth background. Charging is a big element. One of the issues we've got is where are you going to charge the vehicles? How long does it take to charge the vehicles? You know, if you've got a... We're not too bad. We've got 2, 3, 4 wagons in a depot, then you're going to be able to charge that up. We've got 3-phase in all depots, so we can do it. What's going to happen if you've got to do it when you're out?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? You know, we're talking 44 ton on our, you know, that's going to take a lot of power. And depending on the day, today it's raining, you know, if it's freezing cold, you know, guy wants his heater on, all those sort of things come into play. How's the power going to hold up, and where are you going to be able to charge it?
Yeah, hopefully you'll learn a bit of that in their presentation.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for. That's the kind of feedback that we really need. Yeah. And then, of course, I mean, you're talking 113,000 currently for the next T4, 8T, 6P2 tractor unit. Well, what's going to be the cost of an electric?
Yeah.
Bear in mind, it's a loss leader to us. We don't make money on transport.
Yes.
You know, so we're not a haulage company.
Brilliant. Thank you for your time.
No worries. Thank you very much.
If you've been enjoying the Talking Trucks podcast, make sure you keep up to date with the latest news, legal advice, interviews, and road tests with Commercial Motor Magazine, delivered direct to your door every week. Subscribe today for just £35 per quarter by visiting commercialmotor.com/podcast.